Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to open your pew Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. Follow along as I read and then use the text as the basis for the homily. Beginning at verse 14, Ephesians 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Sisters and brothers in Christ, this reading from Ephesians is, as you can see, a prayer, and it has a purpose. That purpose actually at first glance seems to fit this place quite well. What I mean is that we are a seminary and we're very interested in learning stuff and knowing stuff. And when Paul finally gets to the purpose of the prayer, which is verse 19, the purpose is that we would know something. That is the love of Christ. And that's great. That's why we're here, whether it's for a few years or a few more. We want to know, we want to grow in our knowledge. So it's all good. It's all easy, it's natural, and it fits us just fine if we skip down to verse 19. But we won't do that. We're actually going to spend a little time on verses 14 through 18 before we get to 19. And if we do that, we'll hear an invitation from Paul that really, in a way, is quite humbling, and also receive a gift greater than we might have imagined. So here we go. Now, if you back up to the beginning of the reading, here's the first thing to notice. The knowledge that Paul wants you and me to have is not something that we have the power to gain for ourselves, and it's not even something that we are strong enough to hold on to. Now, if you just glance quickly at 14 and 15, in a way, that's just Paul getting down on his knees. And then in verse 16, Paul asks that God would strengthen, interesting, strengthen our inner being. Now, he wouldn't say that unless my inner being and yours aren't strong enough to grasp or hold on to what Paul wants us to know. So right away, here's a challenge for us, actually, in this place, because it means it's not about working harder than others, and it's not about being smarter than others. Now, of course, it's okay to work hard, and it's okay to want to be smart, so go ahead, do your assignments, do your research, but this is not about that. It's about this, that God has something for me to know. And so I humble myself before God, and I admit that I'm not even strong enough to hold on to it. God, I need your Spirit to make me stronger than I am. Okay, here's the next surprise. And remember that Paul is writing to Christians, to the saints who are in Ephesus, to the Christians, chapter 1, verse 3, who have already been blessed in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's what he says. It's for these people that he prays that their inner being may be strengthened so that something can happen. But wouldn't you have thought it had already happened? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Isn't that already true? Don't they believe already? Aren't they baptized already? The answer is yes and yes. Don't they already know this? Yes. But, read on, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have, there it is again, strength to comprehend. Let's pause over this picture of rooted and grounded, because I think it tells us why Paul can pray that they and we would know something that we actually already know. You see, a lot of our learning, at least some of it, is sort of linear. It moves. You're here, you get it, and you move on, right? And sometimes you might even, as you're learning, leave behind something that you learned, but you just move on to something else, but not here. That's not the picture. That's not the prayer. Rooted and grounded means you never go anywhere. You stay put. You just go down deeper into where you already are. And so there are new and incredible things to know, but it's more of the same. Same place, same soil, same location, same foundation. And then finally, after all that, we get to what we're supposed to know, what we need to know in verses 18 and 19. And it's interestingly something that Paul says surpasses knowledge. You can never get to the end of it. You can never get your arms completely around it. It's the love of Christ. Now, you already know it, but the apostle is praying with all the saints that we here would know the love of Christ. Well, how does that work? Well, I suppose different ways. It's always, of course, through the message. It's always through the word about Jesus and what he's done. But I think it's true that for that message to take deeper root, in order for our hearts to grow stronger and to more firmly hold on to what we already held on to, in order for that to happen, I think there's some violence that has to happen. Kind of like breaking up dry and hardened soil. For my inner man first to become stronger, I think God has to break it up a bit. I think it means that you will need to learn more about your needs, your weakness, your limitation, and your sin, so that God can come in and say, "See, you knew before that I loved you in my Jesus, but you didn't know that I would love you here. You didn't know yet that I would love you in this situation. And now you know that I love you even here." So I thought back to Paul himself, at the beginning of his Christian existence. My goodness, there he was, following his passion, persecuting the church, whistling a happy tune. And then, try to imagine it. He actually learned that he'd been persecuting the Son of God. Bad idea, right? Not a happy place to be. But Jesus loved him there, and he sent Ananias, who also had a couple of things to learn, and Jesus washed away Paul's sin, and the roots began to go down into the love of Christ. For some reason, as I was preparing for this morning, I thought about the Samaritan woman in John 4. No particular reason to think of her, I guess, but I wondered, who knows what the walls were that she had erected? Who knows what the sorrows and the abuses of her story were? But then she met a man, in her own words, who told her everything that she had ever done, and he was still for her. And so, in that dry and rocky place by the well in Samaria, she saw herself as Jesus saw her, and still he loved her. Could this be the Messiah? She said, and the answer is, as they would say in Minnesota, "You betcha." Now, I don't specifically know how it will work for you. It might not be painful, but I suspect that it will be. There will be a time of some weakness, a time of stumbling. There will be some need that just sort of overwhelms you. And all you can see and feel is how weak and dry and powerless you are. And then, it's not new, you already know it, but it is new. It's as new and powerful and refreshing as cool water on dry ground. Then the word comes, for one such as me, Jesus gave his life. For someone struggling as hard as you, Jesus rose in victory. Maybe you didn't even realize that you were barely hanging on, but suddenly there you are at the end of the rope. Nothing to offer, no strength left, only one thing: to receive again the forgiveness of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. As before, he dwells in you, in your heart, and you grasp again what you already know. Friends, this morning, Jesus is here. He has called us together. In his supper, he is here to root and ground you and to keep you where you already are. One day, when he comes in glory, we will be strong and we will be filled up to all the fullness of God. Until that day, God desires to strengthen you in your inner being so that you can know what you could never fully know. So, bring your weakness, bring your sorrow, bring your need. Come and eat and drink the love of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.